large, and you'll understand what he has answered the Lord in receiving and accepting this call, first in an inward desire that he had to be an elder, and then to pursue it and share that, and then to open up his home or be available to you and to your homes, not just in the time of evaluation, but in other times he has done so. And so you'll see that is what he has opened himself up to here this morning. As I now give a charge to the ordinant, that it may increase your prayers, and increase your thoughts, and increase your words of encouragement to him. Well, when Timothy began to retreat from ministry or act in fear, the Apostle Paul charged him to remember his ordination. To remember his ordination to ministry. In fact, he did it twice. In 1 Timothy 1:18, he wrote, "This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight." In 2 Timothy 1:6, he told Timothy, "For this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." Remembering that God has set you apart to pastor his people helps fan the flame of your zeal for ministry. This is essential for ministers to remember when discouragements come in ministry. Knowing that God has called you into ministry enables you to keep going when things get tough. So I have again three charges for Aaron this morning. The first one is that you would see that it be subservient over self-reliant, that you would choose grace over grandiose, and that you would also see God's glory over gratification. Turn again with me to 1 Timothy, this time to chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, the word of the Lord reads in verse 12, "For this reason I also suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which you are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me. Among them were Philegus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and has not been ashamed of my chains. But when I was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. Here we see "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." We see here in, that was 2 Timothy. That's a good introduction to the sermon too. I'm going to get it right. Did I say you have to be gracious to your pastors? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. It sounded so right. I was like, this sounds good, but it didn't sound exactly right. But sometimes, you know, anyways, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, that he has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. That is the word of the Lord. Here we see in 1 Timothy chapter 1, especially in verse 12, he thanks Christ Jesus, his Lord, who has strengthened him. He has strengthened him because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. So in that verse, Paul is saying that he's been engaged and commissioned into service of the Lord. But he does so not on his own strength. He does so by the strength of Christ. 1 Peter 4, verse 11, in the first part says, whoever speaks is to do as one who is speaking utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Your first charge this morning, Aaron, is that you would choose to be subservient over being self-reliant, that you would serve the Lord in his strength, that you would never fall back into your own talents, that you would not serve according to your talents, though you will employ them in your service. You would serve according to the strength supplied to you from the one who has ultimately called you into service. Sometimes, very particular to Aaron, he serves with the talents that he doesn't necessarily want to employ. We're thankful for his serving us and leading music, but if you asked Aaron if a talented man came into this church and was qualified to do so, he might turn his guitar over to him. But as it is, he submits to the Lord. Continue to submit to the Lord in his turning in your ministry. Rely not on your talents. Rely not on your understanding of your talents, even. Rely on the Lord. I noticed something that I hadn't before when you preached last evening service, when you were teaching on saving faith in our confession. In chapter 14, paragraph 1, it says, the grace of faith, whereby the elect are enabled to believe in the saving of their souls, is the work of the Spirit of Christ in their hearts and is ordinarily wrought by the ministry of the Word, by which also, and by the administration of baptism and the Lord's Supper, prayer, and other means appointed of God, it is increased and strengthened. And so he talked about this idea how our faith is increased and strengthened through the means of grace. And he said, we don't get to make up the means of grace. Scripture tells us what it is, and our confession summarizes them in chapter 22, paragraph 5, to which he read, the means of grace, the reading of the scriptures, preaching and hearing the word of God, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and also the administration of baptism and the Lord's Supper are all parts of the worship of God. What I hadn't noticed before is that the explanation to the Word of God is there's the reading of the Word of God, there's the preaching of the Word of God, and the hearing of the Word of God. Now, you would think that the means of grace for the believer would be the reading of the Word of God and the hearing of the preaching of the Word of God. But as I look at that, not only is this a means of grace, the preaching and the proclaimed word, but it's to be a means of grace for us who preach the word of God. So that even if your preaching is to be a means of grace to you also. It is to be a way in which you show that you are not self-reliant, but reliant upon the Lord and his word, to faithfully exposit the word of God. The Lord has ordained that your preaching be a means of grace, not only to the congregation who hears, because it said hearing, but also to you who preach, if you would do well to listen also, so that you would be subservient and not self-reliant. The second aspect of this is that you would choose grace over grandiose. We saw that in verses 13 through 16, where Paul goes over a long list of his unqualifications to be an apostle, to be a servant of Christ. Paul expresses himself in such a way that there's nothing left for the members of the church of Ephesus or Timothy to think about Paul except to think of Christ. Paul, by confession, is a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent aggressor. He was ignorant. He is the foremost of all sinners. Now, we know that his gross blaspheming, his gross persecuting, maybe all his persecuting, all his violent aggression came before he was believer, before the scales came off his eyes. But his ignorance to some things and his being the foremost of all sinners for his old nature, though dead and buried, as he expresses in Romans 7, still has sway in some way to his actions. So Paul, by confession, sees himself in this light. Why does he say this? It's because he's giving glory to the grace found in Christ Jesus. This is his instruction. These are a part of his sound words that he exhorts Timothy to do. He says to continue in these sound words. What are these sound words? Giving glory to the grace found in Christ Jesus. Not pointing to yourself, not showing how great of an orator you are. Are a storyteller. We like stories. You need to be an orator if you're going to stand up here. You need to read the right passage when you begin a sermon. But above all, you need to rely and exhibit and highlight the grace found in Christ Jesus. So do not let the goal of your instruction be the honor of men. That would be like being served fine wine and esteeming the bottle that it's served in. Or maybe praising the conduit in your home when a beautiful glow emits from a lamp. We never say, this is good wine, let me see the bottle it came in. We want to see the bottle to read the label, maybe. We want to know where the grapes came from. We want to know who was the vintner. I've never once said, I think there's glory in the wiring in my house when I turn on a light switch. But there's something beautiful about the harnessing of electricity to light a room. So it should be for us that the goal of our instruction should not be the honor of men. For we are we are to be the bottle. We are to be the conduit. Let the goal of your instruction be to bring glory to the grace found in Christ Jesus. And that is so we may understand that it is God's glory over gratification. There's much gratification in the honor of men and to kind words, and I wouldn't say don't give kind words to your pastor, but we dare not rely on it. We dare not look to it as some affirmation of our ministry. We dare not rely on some sort of self-gratification. We must rely on the grace of God, and his glory must be our end. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, we read, Whoever speaks, do so as the one who is speaking, the utterance of God. Whoever serves as the one who does so is the one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, and through some strange things were happening, as though some strange things were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Let your goal be God's glory and not your own gratification. Let yourself in times of trial, whether it be ministry related or home related, work related, keep on rejoicing, for the glory of Christ is being revealed to you in these trials. And if you suffer according to the name of Christ, rejoice even more. For here you find that the Spirit of glory in God rests on you. And so, Aaron, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick and the dead, to serve his bride in all ways, and to shepherd the sheep, to preach the word to yourself and then to us, to love your wife, to watch over your character, continue to work at being settled in your doctrine. Do all this in the strength supplied by God, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let me pray before I invite Aaron back up. Oh Lord, this can't be done in the strength of man. Aaron is in his natural condition is ill-equipped. He needs your Spirit. He needs your abiding presence so that he may endure in these things. Help him, Lord, to execute his office with joy and love. Help him to see that your honor is the only honor to seek, so that he may preach the word in season and out of season. Help him to see, Lord, that this preaching is a means of grace for him as well as for us who hear. Oh Lord, may you give him a servant's heart, not just to serve, but to serve you and not be reliant upon himself. All these things done in the strength supplied to him by his Savior through union with him by your Spirit. We give praise that this is something you have promised to do for your people. And so we pray with an assured hope that you will do so for Aaron and his ministry. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.